This year, keep Christ at the center of your holiday reading list with the Lutheran Witness magazine. Enjoy articles on the Virgin Mary, family Advent activities, candlelight services, and more. The December issue even includes a special Christmas gift guide for Lutherans. Visit cph.org/witness to start or renew your subscription or to purchase a gift subscription for a loved one this Christmas. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
If Jesus Christ gets down off the cross and told me Trump is with Russia, I would tell him, hold on a second, I need to check with the president if it's true.
When the dark gets darker, the light's going to get lighter. And people are going to be drawn, not because it's what is similar, but it's what is different.
They, in fact, are not Catholic. They are more Roman than they are Catholic. We Lutherans are the true Catholics because we are maintaining the Church's historic doctrine and practice.
The strength of our faith is not some sort of quality in the heart. It's knowing what God has promised.
Wisconsin turkey producers love issues, etc.
If the New Testament had been an era of the selfie, and if by some chance our Lord had taken selfies, this man might have been in the picture a lot of the time. He might have been right there in the background or sticking his head up doing one of those photo bombs, because in the New Testament, he is at the Lord's side an awful lot. Usually we think about the inner circle of our Lord being Peter, James, and John, but there's another one that's there. He's actually related into that group and often included, and that is Andrew. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be remembering the Apostle Andrew on this day. It's his day today, this Thursday afternoon. Pastor Will Whedon is here in the studio and will be our guest. A little bit later, we're going to talk about the proper role and use of emotions on the part of the Christian. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be our guest for that. Terry Mattingly joins us. We'll discuss media coverage of the religious past of Prince Harry's fiance, Meghan Markle, now a household name. She is being baptized and confirmed before their marriage, yet we are told she has a Protestant background. So something is not being fully explained. We'll see if we can sort it out with Terry Mattingly. Mark Hemingway joins us after that to talk about sex scandals and sexual ethics. He's written recently for the Weekly Standard, a piece titled Washington Post Conservatives Are Right About Sex. You can join us as well over the next 2 hours. Our call-in number 1-877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us, remember, the Apostle Andrew on this 30th of November, Pastor Will Whedon, Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's host of a radio program called Thy Strong Word and author of the book Celebrating the Saints and a new publication called Thank, Pray, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Lutheran Piety. Will, welcome back.
Hey, what a joy to be with you, Todd.
He is not only one of the early apostles and disciples, he is also, in some sense, one of the first evangelists.
He is too. The first evangelist that we have any kind of a record of, aside from our Lord Jesus or John the Baptist, right? I'm going to back up just 1 second from that. I got to tell you why I love this day. Okay. Two reasons
Saint
I love
Andrew's
this day.
St. Yeah.
Andrew's Day. Number one, I was baptized at the Lutheran Church of St. Andrew, and I was confirmed at the Lutheran Church of St. Andrew, and I was married at the Lutheran Church of St. Andrew, and I was ordained at the Lutheran Church of St. Andrew. And when I sat there in worship for many years, I would always sit in the third pew from the front on the right-hand side. And right in front of me is this gigantic stained glass image of Andrew, the cross at his feet, the X-shaped cross that he was traditionally killed on, and his hand sort of gesturing toward the table, toward Jesus, like, come to Jesus. And always on the bulletin, the point that you were making, always on the bulletin of, in those days for the Lutheran Church of St. Andrew was this this statement, Andrew first found his brother Peter and brought him to Jesus. So this was very much the Andrew that was in front of me as a Lutheran Christian first being formed in the faith. It was this beautiful picture of this man who invites even the great Peter to come to know Jesus. And how hard it is. You think about how hard it is to witness to your faith, to your family. And yet this is the first thing he does. He runs and grabs hold of Peter and is like, we found him. We found the Messiah. And, you know, this is the same Andrew of which Peter would later ask, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? You know, I mean, picture they were brothers. Okay. You know how brothers are. And yet Andrew has this one great joy. I want you to get to know this man. And I think that's at the heart of the gospel that's usually read on this day from John chapter 1.
So that is the account of the call. We usually just call it the calling
the call
of the disciples.
Of mm-hmm.
But the call of Andrew leads to the call of Peter, doesn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus finishes the job a little bit later. He finds Peter
yeah, yeah.
and does this.
Yeah, yeah. Is it okay if I share the homily?
Sure.
Okay, it's short.
Relatively. No, absolutely.
Okay. I was invited to preach at my home parish for St. Andrew's Day today. And so, I love what this text invites us to think about. So, a God who is everywhere is as useless to you as a God who is nowhere. What you need and need desperately is a God who is somewhere, a located God coming to you in grace and mercy. We found the Messiah, Andrew tells Big Brother Peter. He brought him to Jesus. Finding him and bringing someone else to him only happens if you know where he is. Andrew didn't have any doubts about that. John the Baptist had pointed with his finger. Look, that's the Lamb of God. That's the one who takes away the sin of the world. And so Andrew and the other disciple follow John's pointing finger, pointing to this man who, to all outward appearances, was quite unremarkable. They literally began walking step by step after him to the point that he turned around and said, what do you want? he asked us the same thing. What are you looking for? Because indeed, he will be a bit of a disappointment to you if you're looking for anything else than the presence of God in human flesh and blood come to save you. He's not the quick fix or easy answer to any of those problems that you're obsessing about in your head right now. Rather, he challenges your thinking that those things are really big or important. I think it's great that Andrew doesn't ask anything more than this. So where are you staying? Which we could render, where are you located? Where can we find you? Come and see, he invites. And off they go to find where he was staying, where he was located. They spend the day there listening to him talk, most of all, simply being with him. And something clicked in that. They realized in a way they'd never imagined that life is different now. Just spending time with Jesus, just listening to Jesus talk, just being in his presence, it changes you. And it reveals to you exactly what life itself is made for. And that's it. You were made to live in his presence. And that's exactly what we lost in the garden. This walking with God in the cool of the day, conversing with him, being with him. And behind all of the intense longings of this world, this is the real hidden longing. You've made us for yourself, O Lord. And our souls are restless until we rest in you. And that restlessness can lead you into all kinds of sorrow and all kinds of mischief. You do some mega stupid things to try to quiet it down. And sometimes when stupid doesn't work, you try stupider. And they're all doomed to fail. Every last one. Because that ache inside of you, that's quenched by only one thing. The one for whose companionship you were made. The one that Andrew went to spend the day with. How did David confess this? In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Even more explicitly, who do I have in heaven but you? There is none on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart, they fail. But God's the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Not to know where that one is located so that you can be with him, that's agony. And so when you find him and spend time with him, suddenly your heart swells with a joy that you can't begin to keep to yourself. This is not just what you were made for. This is what every last one of us was made for. So Andrew's immediate confession to his brother, we found him. We found the Messiah. And he brought him to Jesus. People loved by God, if our confession of the Christ has grown weak, might it be that we've forgotten where he may be found? If we follow John's finger to the Lamb of God, where will we end up but at the altar? O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. Grant us thy peace. Here we kneel down and experience the most intimate communion possible. The Son of God, the one Andrew followed, comes to you with his body and blood. The body and blood he took from the Virgin's womb, the body and blood that were offered on Calvary's tree for you to free you from condemnation, and the body and blood that were raised in glory and exalted to the right hand of the Father. He gives this to you. He puts it into your mouth, and with it the promise for you, for the forgiveness of your sin. That's what you were made for. How can we not then with Andrew walk away from the assembly where Jesus is staying and go out into the world and tell our family, our friends, our neighbors, our parents, our children, we found the Messiah. He's not long ago and far away. He's here. He's present, continuing to teach us in his words and impart himself to us in his body and blood. You know, the poet Benjamin nailed it in his poem, The Bells of Waiting Advent. And is it true? This most tremendous tale of all, seen in a stained glass window's hue, a baby in an ox's stall, the maker of the stars and sea, become a child on earth for me? And is it true? For if it is, no loving fingers tying strings around those tissued fripperies, the sweet and silly Christmas things, bath salts and inexpensive scent and hideous tie, so kindly meant. No love that in a family dwells, no caroling in frosty air, nor all the steeple-shaking bells can with this single truth compare, that God was man in Palestine and lives today in bread and wine. A God who is somewhere. We found the Messiah. Come and see. That's Andrew's. That's the invitation Jesus gave to Andrew, and that's the invitation Andrew went out and gave to Peter. And it's the invitation Christ sends us out to give to people around the world.
Seems to be a pattern for him as well, because wherever it's recorded Andrew has any part in something, he's always in that chain of something as simple as these people need to be fed. It's Andrew who says, well, he brings him a little kid. I found this little kid with food, Jesus. Mm-hmm. What do you do with it? Or in the case of the Greek seeking Jesus, Philip's comes to Andrew, and it's Andrew who says, well, okay, we got to go take these guys to Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, the Philip and Andrew together join, I mean, they join together John 6 and John 12 in a really tight way. I mean, the whole point, I mean, they are the key to why Jesus being the bread of life is that he has to go into the, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. So he's going to come and suffer and die. And Philip and Andrew are, they're the bookends on that in John's gospel.
They're also an anticipation a little bit, because anyone familiar with the languages of the ancient world, your first year seminary student realizes that these are not Hebraic names.
No, these are
Greek names. Right. These are Greek names of Jewish disciples. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts?
We were call Hellenist or whatever. Yeah, I mean, and those Greek names portend that this is going to go out into all the world. One thing I need to say on Andrew before we leave too is this idea that he's the man whose feast sets the beginning of Advent. So the first disciple, the first one who goes out and brings others to Jesus, the first evangelist, he is the kickoff to the church here. And that reminds me that if you guys would be so kind, maybe you could post a link to the daily Advent table devotions that LCBS Worship put together to help celebrate Advent, which is beginning this coming Sunday, the Sunday nearest to St. Andrew's Day. He always lights the way.
We will certainly do that. We'll have a few more minutes on the other side of the break talking about Andrew the Apostle with Pastor Will Whedon, Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the collect that is prayed on this day.
This holiday shopping season, skip the Fruit of the Month Club. Don't fall for any ridiculous as-seen-on-TV offers. Just say no to ugly sweaters. Instead, give your family and friends the best of Lutheran reflection on faith and life, theology and culture, delivered monthly right to their mailboxes. Give them the Lutheran Witness magazine. Visit cph.org/witness to purchase subscriptions for Christmas or anytime. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
transported back into the town of Bethlehem and hear the townspeople talk of the special night when Mary and Joseph arrived, the star appeared above, and Jesus' birth. Lord of Life Lutheran Church in Chesterfield invites you to a nativity drama Friday evening, December the 1st from 6 to 8, and Saturday and Sunday afternoon, December the 2nd and 3rd from 2 to 5. Handicapped accessible. Call 636-532-0400. Free of charge, appropriate for all ages.
The Faith, Once for All, Delivered to the Saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're remembering the Apostle Andrew. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest, Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Before the break, Pastor Whedon mentioned a brief Advent devotion for the family table. You will be able to download this resource for free under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. We would be remiss if we didn't share with our listeners the collect that's appointed for the observation of St. Andrew's Day.
So the collect for today, Almighty God, by your grace, the Apostle Andrew obeyed the call of your Son to be a disciple. Grant us also to follow the same Lord Jesus Christ in heart and life, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Now you noticed that there's sort of a twofold calling of Andrew. I mean, Andrew, in the reading from John 1, he actually is not called to be a disciple. He chooses to go and follow and spend the day with Jesus, and he's blessed and blown away and shares it with his brother.
He's pointed to Jesus.
But you become one of the Lord's apostles when the Lord comes along and picks you. And that's what happens. You know, we read in the synoptics that Jesus walking by the lake sees them and says, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. The same thing that he said is Peter and Andrew, James and John, these four fisher folk that are together that become the core of the first group of disciples. It is kind of interesting that Andrew is not one of, I mean, it's three, not four, that are this sort of inner circle with Jesus. But at the same time, Andrew is always there and you never have any kind of a hint except for maybe Peter's question. maybe that's being unkind to say that he was referring to Andrew. Maybe he had another brother. But I always think it's funny. We always hear, how often should my brother sit against me? We're hearing that, like, you know, as Christians, we're not thinking in terms of them having families, but they had
lots
families.
Lots of them are related to one another and to Jesus, probably.
Yeah.
So I've often said that Jesus is really, really good at making disciples. This is something that I want 21st century Christians to hear. He made the first ones and he's made every single one ever since. He is the one who makes disciples. He uses his church and he is present in his word and sacraments to do it. But ultimately, he is the one who calls men to himself, each and every one of them. There are no proxies here. What are your thoughts?
No, absolutely. It's way too tempting to imagine that any kind of instrumental role we have in connecting a person to Jesus has some sort of, that we would pat ourselves on the back for that. You don't get that flavor here at all, especially in John 1. Andrew is just so excited. He's not thinking about Andrew. All he's thinking about is, oh, you got to meet him. You got to come spend time with him. You got to, you've got to come here. And so he literally brings Peter in that kind of a spirit, that kind of joy, and it's infectious. And that's very, very different from, all right, now I'm going to train you on how you can be a follower of Jesus. No. All we do is invite the people to where Jesus is. And Jesus takes care of making them disciples. Or said another way, to go to the other calling story, Jesus did not say, follow me, and then you will fish for men. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men by you following me. Literally stepping behind Christ, walking behind him. That becomes the net by which Christ uses them to catch people for the kingdom.
So this notion that evangelism is that what the church does Sunday after Sunday, in all of its fullness, is something, well, it's good, but it's not really yet evangelism. Certainly evangelism would happen outside the church walls, but doesn't it have to begin, doesn't it have to lead to the altar, to the font, to the pulpit?
Yeah, I mean, do you remember when Luther and I, they had at one time, their motto was bringing Christ to the nations, and then they amended it. Do you remember that?
Yeah. And the nations to the church.
The nations to the church, because the church is the location where they will be made disciples of Christ, because here they will encounter Christ himself, who is the living center of the church's, it's the secret of the church's liturgy. He is the living center. When we gather together, he still speaks to us in his words. We gather together at his table. He is the host. He feeds us. He stuffs his body and blood down our throats, and he promises to us, this was for you, for the forgiveness of all your sin, because I love you. He's the one who sends us out to invite others to come and join us with him where he has graciously promised to be. So this, you know, if you have a Christianity that's not centered on the Eucharistic assembly, you have a Christianity that's foreign to the whole thing you see happening in the New Testament. Then it becomes nothing more than sharing. You try to get people to share the same opinion you have. That's not evangelism. Evangelism is where we bring them to Jesus, where he has promised to be for us.
Before we let you go, you've got a brand new book literally out yesterday. Thank, Pray, Serve, and Obey. Discover the Joys of Piety. Tell us about it.
I am so excited about this. This was a work that, what do you do when people have confused a legalistic pietism for any form of Christian piety? And by piety, I just mean godly habits. Godly habits, and they're godly, not in that they are like Aristotelian virtues building you up inside. They're godly habits in that they are training the Christian to live outside of himself, to live in God by faith and in his neighbor by love, as Luther said so famously. That's the point of these habits. And the Lutheran Church for a long time did not hesitate to talk and preach and help her people concretely live in this. But then Satan did a really sly satanic move. I mentioned it to Jeff right before the show began. Two things he did. He removed two books from the home. He put the catechism into a classroom, and he put the hymnal into the church. And by doing both of those things, he robbed the Lutheran people of their formation in the godly habits of piety.
Because he took both out of the home.
Out of the home. The home is where they live. And from the home, when you have the catechism as your lively prayer book for your family, and when you have the hymnal as a book you use together to sing the praises of God in the home, all of a sudden things really change. This book is all about how to help recover piety in the house.
Folks, you can find out all about this great book called Thank, Pray, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety by Pastor Will Whedon, just out from Concordia Publishing House yesterday. Give them a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. It's called Thank, Pray, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety by Pastor Will Whedon. Will, thank you very much for being our guest.
Oh, joy to be with you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. What is the role of emotions
in the Christian's life. It's not as though we can put them away and ignore them. They are part of who we are. They are part of who we are as both sinners and saints. So what is their proper place? We'll answer that question with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller after this.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Would you like to travel to Italy for a Christian art and history tour? This coming September, you will have the opportunity to take part in a Lutheran-sponsored trip exploring Italy's rich heritage. Destinations include the Sistine Chapel, the Colosseum and Christian catacombs of Rome, Renaissance art and architecture in Florence and Venice, and the wine country of Tuscany, plus a great deal more. Further details about this once-in-a-lifetime tour of Italy are available at mountziongreenfield.org. Space is limited, so go today to mountziongreenfield.org.
Evangelical and Catholic. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Answering objections defending the faith, evolution or creation, transgenderism and homosexuality. These are some of the issues addressed at the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 3rd at Faith Lutheran Church in San Antonio, Texas. Learn more at worldviewsa.org. This conference features Issues Etc. guests Dr. Jan Lohmeyer and Pastor David J. Weber. The San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 3rd, worldviewsa.org.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.